Holy Father, we thank you for your presence that is in this atmosphere. I pray, Father God, that in this morning your fire will rain down upon each and every person standing on this ground. That this morning, every person standing here, even now, that there will be a sudden change of hearts. Lord, we surrender. We yield. We submit unto your presence that is in this place. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. There is none like you, Lord. We love you. Your holy presence is saturating in this atmosphere, and we celebrate your presence, Lord. We celebrate your presence. I pray for those not sensitive to your presence. Oh, Father, I pray, may you take their hearts even now. May you break open those hearts. I pray, may you increase every measure of spiritual sensitivity, that we may become more aware of the reality of your closeness, of the closeness of your presence. I pray, Father, my Lord, may every person experience you in this day. May not one person leave here untouched in this morning. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Are you guys ready for the word? Before I get started, I first would like to honor the spiritual authority that is over this house, both Pastor Leon and Esther Lee Dupria. Just want to say thank you to both of them for once again entrusting me to take the pulpit in this morning. It is a great honor and a privilege to be able to stand up here and to minister unto you, to preach to you, amen. It is something that I do not take lightly nor for granted. And it's a humbling experience every time that I stand up here. Amen. Now, Pastor Leon sends his love. He sends his regards. Unfortunately, he can't make it this morning. He had an inauguration that he had to attend. It started last night at Hatfield, and it's continuing this morning. And so he asked me to take the service in this morning. Amen. Is that okay? I truly hope that you guys are both expectant and excited to be here this morning. Let me tell you that I've got a word in my heart. This is one of those services where I've got a word in my spirit, a word that I've been carrying around for the past month. So I'm very excited to bring this word in this morning. Are you guys excited? You don't look like it. Just smile or do something. You know, even now, I just pray that I will disappear in the Holy Spirit. I just pray that He will step in and cover me in His presence, and that you will not see nor hear me. My heart's desire in this morning is that you will experience God, and that you will experience the fire of the true living God. Amen. And I truly hope and I pray that in this morning, that a new passion and desire will be stirred up within your hearts, will be unlocked within your hearts. Amen. Say with me, response. Now, I know that you know this, but Paul said that I will bring you into remembrance. So I'm going to remind you that the extent to what you respond in this morning is in direct proportion to the extent that you shall receive the word that I'm going to give to you in this morning. Amen. Response. Say response. Now, I will continue with a series that we're busy with, and that is training for reigning. And this is the last part of the series, part four. And this morning I will be preaching on how to restore the fire of God in your life. How to restore the fire of God in your life. Now, I truly believe, I am convinced that this is going to be a year of acceleration for those that have, above all else, have learned how to guard their hearts. And that I've learned how to stand their grounds and how to keep their grounds. I am convinced that this is going to be a year of illumination. And this illumination is going to come by revelation and understanding of the truth and of the word of the true living God. I believe that this is going to be a fruitful year by and through which God is going to be glorified. Amen. I believe that the battles that we're going to face this year is going to seem like nothing, because we're going to go up higher. And we're going to start to see through the eyes of God. And the battles we face will truly seem like nothing. Amen. The Bible says that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen. Proverbs 9 verse 10 and 11 says the following. You don't have to put this on. Proverbs 9 verse 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, we've got many believers that do not read their word. They do not spend time in prayer. They've got no relationship with God. And thus, they have got no knowledge of Christ Jesus, of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Yet the word says that knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Amen? Meaning that if I have knowledge of Christ Jesus, of who I am in Christ and Christ within me, then I will understand who I am. Amen? We lack vision. This is going to be a year of vision. Let me tell you that. But I'm not speaking merely about vision as in seeing or having a vision, a dream. I'm speaking a vision that will come by faith. I'm speaking about a vision that will come by understanding. You're going to walk by a knowing. Just knowing that I am a conqueror. Just knowing that I am victorious. You're going to walk by a knowing. Amen? Say the fire of God. In Exodus, the 14th chapter. You can put this on. The Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 24. And I need you guys to listen to this. It says, And it came to pass that in the morning watch. Now listen to this. This is in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, right? And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked, say looked, unto the host of the Egyptians, through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. God have led the children of Israel by a pillar of fire by night. Say a pillar of fire. Say a pillar of fire. So I need you guys to stay with me. This is powerful. He led the children of Israel by a pillar of fire by night, right? Further on, Isaiah have said the following words. He said that, I baptize you with water. John have said the following words. He said that, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But I tell you that truly there's one coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he will baptize you in the Spirit and with fire. You need to understand that you have become that very pillar of fire. Isaiah have said the following words. He said that as the enemy will come at you like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. You have become that very pillar of fire, being moved by the hand of God. And God is looking through you onto your enemies, destroying every enemy coming up against you. You are the very standard being raised up against the enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying in this morning? You are the very standard being raised up against the enemy. This pillar of fire represented something. It represented God's vision, God's purpose, and God's destiny for the children of Israel. The moment you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and so with fire, you have gotten baptized in the destiny for God for your life. You have gotten baptized in the vision that God has got for your life. You have gotten baptized in these things. And I'm telling you that the destiny that you carry has got a sound, and that sound is the voice of God. And that voice screams louder than any doubts, anxiousness, and fear that you think you might have. Amen. Oh, I got a word in my heart in this morning. And it's locked up in my bones like burning fire. Are you ready for the fire of God in this morning? Amen. Just stand and give the Lord a praise offering. Now, as with any fire, you need to understand that you need to keep this fire going. Amen? And so I want to ask you a question in this morning. Do you keep the fire of God in your hearts? Because there are two things that every person receives the moment that they come onto salvation, the first time that you come onto Jesus Christ. There are two things that you receive, and that is fire and passion. Fire and passion to serve Him, the true living God. Amen? Say fire and passion. So you receive a passion and a desire now to live according to the will of God, to serve God. You guys with me? And so it is important for you to understand that this is the main purpose for the fire of God. It is to bring forth that passion that is in your hearts. And it is a passion for what? It is a passion for souls, for the lost. It is a passion for the supernatural. It is a passion for worship, for praise, for prayer. It is a passion for signs, miracles, and wonders. It is a passion just to be in His mighty presence. It is a passion for His truth and for His word. A passion for these things. Amen? And so, you know, I want to ask you a question in this morning. Have you lost that passion, that fire, that desire to serve God? Amen? Just to be a partaker of the activities of the kingdom of heaven. And do you want God in this morning to restore the fire? Even if you're sitting and you say, you know what, I'm already on fire. Everything's fine, I'm going good. And you want an increase of that fire. I need you guys to open your hearts. This is very important. Open your hearts, receive this word and apply it to your life. I'm going to give you powerful principles in this morning. I can give you a bar of soap, but if you do not apply it with water to your body, brother, you will still stink. Amen? Take this word, open your heart. Say, I'm opening my heart. Tell your neighbor, open your heart. Tell him, I see you. Open your heart. Amen? Listen, when it comes to God, it's all about the heart. When it comes to God, it's all about the motives of your heart. The motive and the condition of your heart will ultimately determine the altitude of your spiritual success. And that is why Paul has said that there is a circumcision that now will take place, but that it is not a circumcision of the flesh, but of the heart. And so you're going to circumcise your heart of what? Of anything and everything that might hinder the purpose and the call of God that He has got for your life. Anything that might quench the fire, your hearts will be purified from. Amen? And so it's important to understand that that is exactly what the fire does. It purifies and cleanses your hearts. Oh, I declare and I decree in this morning that the fire of God shall be stirred up within your hearts. Let those who hear, my Father. And this morning I pray, let those who hear, and let those who receive, Father. May your fire in this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, bring forth a complete change of the motives of their hearts. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, while I'm preaching in this morning, even while I'm preaching, and I say that you should be on fire for God, please do not think that it's something small like, oh, okay, I should be on fire for God. Because many people brush it off and take it lightly. Let me tell you in this morning that it goes much deeper than that. It goes further beyond that. It is a complete change of the motives of your hearts. Amen? It is complete change of the motives of your hearts. And what this means is that where there is no fire of God, let me rephrase this. What this means is that any place and area in your life where there is no fire of God, there can be no change of hearts. Which means that you stay the same. And if you've been a believer for a long time, you will know that it is not good to stay the same. That there should be spiritual progression continually. Amen? You guys with me? This is a thing that comes in a very subtle way. And you guys need to listen to this. Many believers, when they first start off, they're on fire, they're filled with joy, and it's exciting, and they run with this fire, but they reach a certain level where they get so caught up with the things of God that they completely neglect their personal relationship with God. Do not get so caught up with the things of God that you completely miss God. Amen? Revelations. Put on for me Revelations, the second chapter. Put on for me from verse 2. Before you put those screenshots on, just put on for me verse 2 and verse 3. Do not get so caught up with the things of God that you completely miss God. And God said the following. This is God speaking in Revelations to the seven churches. And He says, I know thy works. Put on for me the New King James Version, please. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Verse 3. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. These are very positive sayings. God says very positive things about the churches here. Yet, we go to verse 4. And you can put on the screenshot for me. And it says, Nevertheless, I have this against you. So here we've got God speaking to the seven churches in Revelation, and he's got very positive things to say about them, but he also says that there are something that they are lacking. Something that they are lacking. Amen. You see, we've got many believers that they run for Christ and they get so busy and caught up with the things of God that they think they're fine. They think that everything is okay. There's nothing left to deal with. Let me tell you, this is a dangerous place when you think that there's nothing that needs to change. Yet God has said to the seven churches, you all have something that you need to change. I hope that I've got people with me in this morning that can say, Martin, you know what? Yes, I admit there is stuff in my heart that needs to change. Amen. There's stuff that needs to change. And it goes on and it says, nevertheless, this I have against you, that you have left your first love. That you have left your first love. Now, what is the first love? Who by the raising of their hands can remember the very moment they got saved? That very moment. Who's saved? Who can remember the very moment they got saved? Listen, it's very important to remember. We've actually had a discussion about this. Uncle Mike, myself, Pastor Leon, I think Hank was also standing there. And we had a discussion and Uncle Mike said something. He said, never forget where you come from. That stuck to my heart. The Bible actually speaks of this. Always remember where you come from. This is very important in any way. Can you remember that fire, that joy, that excitement that you felt when you first got saved? Amen? I mean, you just wanted to go run out and share Jesus with the whole world. But yet, after a while, you have found yourself having grown cold. And you can't understand why. Let me explain to you why this happens to many believers. This is a very common thing. You see, many pastors, many believers, and many people, what they do is, they actually prepare the people to lose their first love. They prepare the people to lose their first love. I remember a time when Pastor Leon and myself, we had a meeting with a certain individual. I'm not going to say any names, so I'm not going to expose anyone. We had a meeting with a certain individual. And many of you will be able to relate with this. And I've heard this before. And I can't remember quite how we got to the topic. I think the person asked, how did I get connected with the ministry? And I just shared a bit of my testimony, how I encountered God and how God just changed the very course of my life. And this person, this individual said the following thing. He said that the problem is that people backslide because the encounter that they have with God is only an emotional experience. And once those emotions calm down, they will backslide and fall back. And I remember Pastor Leon and myself, we just looked at each other. And shortly after the meeting was over, and I thought to myself, what are you telling your people? What are you telling your people? You might have heard this before. Give it 2 or 3 months. This will pass. You can see this is going to pass. It's not going to last. I've heard this many times. What are you doing? You are quenching the fire in the people. You are quenching the fire in the people. Amen. I want to set something straight in this morning, and that is that I'm not saying that when you encounter God that it's not emotional. It is a very emotional experience. When I first encountered God, man, I was on my knees crying, weeping from my spirit. I didn't know what was going on. Let me tell you that I just wept. I was overwhelmed by the freedom that I experienced. Amen? It is a very emotional experience. People do not backslide because what they received or what they're experiencing when they encountered God is just a moment. It's just like some small experience that you're having. People backslide and grow cold because they fail to stay committed. We live in a day and age where commitments, where words like commitment and honor means absolutely nothing. People fail to stay connected. They fail to stay associated with those that will keep them on fire for God. People take offense in the church. Instead of dealing with their hearts, they will run out leaving, crying, instead of dealing with their hearts. Amen? Amongst many other things, I cannot go into too much detail. If you've missed past Sunday, Pastor Leon have actually preached on this. So if you've missed it, please get the series. Go to one of the church leaders and get the rest of the series. You can actually download it. Amen. And so he said, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So what is the first love? It is that passion and that fire that you first received in your hearts when you first got saved. That zeal, that passion, that desire that you had just to be in His presence. You couldn't wait for the prayer meetings. You couldn't wait to get to home cell. You couldn't wait to get to church in the morning and to church in the evening. But now you have to kind of be dragged to these spiritual meetings. Amen? What happens? What happens? You have lost your first love. I mean, I can honestly ask you a question in this morning. Do you think that is how it's supposed to be? Do you think it's supposed that you must get this first love just to lose it again? No. Absolutely not. And immediately when I said that, I can hear the thoughts and the worry, and I want to bring ease to your spirits and to your hearts in this morning, because there's many sitting here that have said, even now, feeling in the hearts, but you know what? I've been on fire. I've fallen back. I've backslidden, and I've done all those things. And let me tell you, Satan will come in and he will say the following. He will say, "It's you done for. You've had your chance. It's over for you. Who do you think you are coming back now? What do you want to do? What do you want to prove?" It's time for you to stand up and shove your finger in Satan's face and tell him to shut up. He's a liar, and everything that he says is a lie. You cannot believe it. Let me tell you in this morning that God is not done with you yet. That yet again in this morning, your fire shall be reignited. Amen. In this morning, you shall experience the fire of God in a way that you have never, ever experienced before in your life. Amen. He's a liar. Let me tell you that it took one person baptized in the Holy Spirit and on fire for God, carrying a fire within him, upon him, and around him to lay hands on me, to change the whole course of my life. That man is Pastor Leon Dupree. Let me tell you, about 5 years ago, when I stepped into this man's house, I encountered God in a way that I have never, ever thought possible. The moment that he laid hands on me, the fire and the power of God, the glory of God came down on me like a mighty tidal wave. It hit me so hard, I didn't know what was happening to me. I have never ever looked back since. I am more on fire today than I've ever been in my life. I want to tell you in this morning that you have got that fire. You take that fire and you run with that fire. No matter who says what, you take that fire and you run, and you do not look back. Listen, God have said, He said to Lot, "Lot, I'm bringing fire. You need to run. I'm bringing my fire. You need to run. And don't look back. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Don't be anxious. You keep on running. Because the moment you stop and look back, you will be destroyed." And so God's fire came down and destroyed the city. And they ran. But Lot's wife stopped and she looked back. Doubt came in. Fear came in, and she was taken out. You do not stop. You run. No matter what, you have got that fire. You go and you run with this fire. No matter who says what. Let me tell you that if you're sitting here this morning and you have lost that fire, I declare and I decree that that fire will be reignited. You will burn so brightly. Let me tell you that the Holy Spirit shall be the fan behind that fire. Oh, you're going to burn so brightly that no demon in hell will be able to prevail against you. It is time for you to stand up, point your finger in Satan's face and say, "You have made the wrong choice, devil. You have chosen the wrong target. I will move in my destiny. I will move in my church. I will accomplish everything that God has placed before me. I tell you to get out in the name of Jesus Christ." Are you ready for the fire of God in this morning? Again, I say that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We carry something that we do not know what we possess. Many people do not even know that they've got a holy fire. You might think that when I say that you carry a fire, that it's a metaphorical thing, but it's not. If you can see in the spirits, you will see that there's a holy, bright fire burning within, upon, and around you. Many do not even know this. And many that do know this do not even understand the fire that they're carrying. Amen? Are you guys okay? Say the fire of God. This is a morning service. I need to calm down. Okay, so what is the fire of God? The first thing you need to understand about the fire of God is that it is one of the aspects of God's presence. The Bible says that there is fullness of everything in His presence. Isn't it beautiful? There is fullness of everything in His presence, meaning that there are many different aspects to His presence. There's fullness of joy, there's fullness of prosperity, there's fullness of provision, there's fullness of peace, there's fullness of everything. And so one of the aspects of His presence is called fire. Now this fire can sometimes be felt physically and sometimes not, because remember that it is a supernatural thing. Amen. You need to understand that you are a body, a soul, and a spirit, and that it's your spirit that connect with God, because He is spirit. Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy 4 verse 24, King James Version says the following: "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Do you know that you are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly dimensions?" What are you seated with? With an all-consuming fire. What do you carry? An all-consuming fire, meaning nothing coming up against you can or shall by any means prosper. Do you understand this principle? Now, there are three different types of fire, according to Scripture, that I just quickly want to take you guys through. And the first fire is a fire that comes from the presence of God. It's a fire that comes from the presence of God. This fire comes as a result of you presenting certain spiritual sacrifices. I need you guys to listen. Many people do not carry the fire of God because they do not apply these things. This has been hammered into us by Pastor Leon. I'm applying this still today. Amen. This comes as a result of you bringing certain spiritual sacrifices. These are sacrifices of praise, of worship, of prayer, of giving tithes and offerings, of just giving. These are sacrifices of intercession, of just to die to yourself. The Bible says that we need to become living sacrifices, that a broken heart and a contrite spirit, those are the sacrifices that are pleasing unto Him. Who wants to please God? Then get your heart broken. Get your spirit into a contrite state. Amen. Now, these sacrifices you need to present on a continual basis. It is when God in heaven sees these things upon the altar, and that He looks down and He sees these sacrifices that have been offered continually, that He releases His presence and He answers by fire. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 38 says the following: "And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench." Let me tell you on this morning that God always answers a sacrifice by fire. I want to tell you on this morning that as long as you keep on giving, as long as you keep on praying, as long as you keep on fasting, as long as you present these offerings, that there will be fire in your life. That there will be fire in your life. Amen. It is when people stop giving, fasting, and praying, and worshiping, that it's when they stop applying these very important spiritual principles, that they start to lose their first love. It is here that you lose your first love, because now there's no more expectation. There's sadly no more expectation. Amen? I want to tell you this in this morning. If you take anything from this service, take this. In your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ, no matter what, stay consistent. Stay consistent in your prayer, in your worship, in your giving, in your dying to self. You just stay consistent. And I guarantee you that the presence and the fire of God will only but increase in your life daily. If you take anything, take this. Just stay consistent. Amen? Say, stay consistent. The second fire is a fire that comes from the atmosphere that you live in. Now, I think that many will be able to testify that the first time that they came to ECC and the moment they entered into the building, even many times after that, the moment they stepped into the building, they could feel the tangible presence of God. Amen. Even this morning when I came in here, I felt the presence of God. Even as I'm standing here now, this presence is all over me. Amen. Now, what happens is that, you know, I've heard this many times before. I've heard people coming and they would say, like, it's Martin, you know, I don't know what it is. There's something in the atmosphere. I can't put my finger, I don't know what it is, but there's something in this atmosphere, my heart, I don't know what it is. So what is happening here is that there's a sudden change of hearts. And this comes as a result of the atmosphere being filled, being saturated, being permeated with the presence and the fire of God. Amen. Once you encounter this fire, there's something that happens. When you encounter this fire, you do not even have to be a believer. You just step into the service, and when you encounter this fire, your spirit ignites. Your spirit becomes alive for the first time. Your spirit becomes revived, resuscitated. You need to understand that the atmosphere of heaven is the natural environment for your spirit. If you remove your spirit from that environment, it will choke and die. If you take a fish out of its natural environment, out of water, it will die. It's the same with your spirit. So what happens, I can explain it like this. It's like someone is holding you underwater and you're choking and you're trying to come up and catch breath. And when you step into the church and you feel the presence and the fire of God, there's a change of hearts. And all of a sudden, that thing that have been keeping you under, it loses its grip. And you come up and you grasp that fresh breath of life. That is what it feels like. If this is your first encounter, then it's like you've been blind. You can't understand anything, but now for the first time you can see. This is exactly what happened to me. Let me tell you, the moment I encountered God, when I stood up from the ground there, I could understand the word of God. Because now my spirit was realigned with the kingdom of heaven. And I started to see things from a kingdom perspective. Right? You see, the Holy Spirit is always there. It's always there, but your spirit is not alive. And the moment my spirit got alive, I got connected with the Holy Spirit. And I could understand the word of God. I opened the word, I opened the Bible, and there was just light coming out. And I'm like, what is happening? And every word was just alive to me. It's like the words came out of the page. I was like, what's happening? And God started teaching me His word. You cannot read the word of God without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It will not make sense. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. John 6:63 says, but the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. Amen. I pray that there will be an increase of spiritual sensitivity in your life. An understanding that will come by revelation in your life. That as you read the word, this is my desire. That when you open the Bible, that the Holy Spirit will be right there, that you'll be sensitive to Him leading you and guiding you. And that the vault doors of revelations behind the words will be opened up. And that the words will flow like living water over your soul. Just restoring and healing everything that might be wrong in your life. I declare this. I decree this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, this is why many Christians do not survive. This is why many Christians do not survive. They can only survive from without an atmosphere where there's a fire of God because they do not have their own fire. Because they do not have their own fire. Let me tell you that it's not supposed to be like this. It is not supposed to be like this. People stop fasting. They stop giving. They just stop giving sacrifices, presenting sacrifices. So now there's no fire anymore. Amen. That is why certain people lack that pure passion just to serve God. Because there's no sacrifices being burned anymore. Are you guys with me? It is like some people only catch that fresh breath of life every Sunday morning in church. The rest of the week, your spirit is choking up in the inside of you. Psalms 91 verse 1 says the following. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 23 verse 4 says the following. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Let me tell you on this morning that as long as there is light and fire in your life, that darkness can by any means, no by no means prosper or prevail against you. Amen. That word dwell means that the atmosphere of heaven becomes your living place, your place of residence, your place of habitation. Do you have a prayer room? Do you have a secret place where you go into and you close the door, you get on your knees, and you just get broken before the true living God? Do you have such a place? It's very important. The third fire, I'm almost finished, is a fire that comes from your purpose. This is very important. It is a fire that comes from your purpose. Every person in life that know their purpose in life, there is something that God attached to that purpose, and that is called passion. It is a well-known fact and a basic principle that if you put someone in a place, in an environment doing something that they have got no passion for, that they will most probably not go the extra mile and they will not be productive. But if you place someone in an environment that they've got them, get them doing something that they have got a passion for, I guarantee you that that person will excel, will grow, and will be productive. This is a well-known fact, amen? Passion for your purpose. But many people do not know their purpose in life. And that is why the Bible says, with all diligence, make sure your calling and your election. I'm now not even speaking spiritually. Who's got a passion doing something in their life? Everyone has got something that they've got a passion for. I'm not speaking spiritually now. Amen. Before I got connected with Pastor Leon with the ministry, I used to exercise like a maniac. And that used to be my thing. I was like a fitness freak. And not speaking down upon anyone that is exercising, please. And I'm just saying this was my story. And people would come up to me and say to me, why are you doing this? Why are you putting in so much effort? And I just didn't care because there was a passion in my heart. It was burning. I didn't care what people said. Nothing could stand against this passion that was in me. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? Make sure your election and your calling. You see, we've got Jeremiah. He was a prophet. But he reached a certain level where he said that enough is enough. I'm done. I quit. I'm out. I will no longer prophesy nor preach to these people because they are stubborn. You see, he was hurt. And so he did not want to proclaim the God's name anymore. He said, I will not proclaim his name. In Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9. This is Jeremiah speaking, and he said the following. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Just wait there. Nor speak any more in his name. How many of us have not felt this before? I don't want to serve anymore. I just, you know what? I just don't want to be a part of it anymore. I'm done. I'm out. It's just too tiring. I'm not going to do this anymore. Amen? But then Jeremiah says the following words, and I love this. He says the following words. But his word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. It is important that you make sure your calling and your election, because that comes with a passion, and that will burn in your heart like holy fire, and nothing shall by any means be able to stand against that. You see, this emotion that he felt, this emotion that he had, that I could not hold it back, I can't hold it back, came from the fire and through the destiny that was locked up in his bones. Oh, come on. Here we've got Jeremiah, and he said, I quit. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Can I tell you how many times I have felt that, listen, that's it. This hurts too much. I can't deal with my heart anymore. I'm done. I'm out. But let me tell you, there was one evening that I was on my knees crying before God. On my face crying before God. And his presence came in and it saturated the atmosphere. The glory of God came resting upon me. And I remember I was shaking under his presence. And I heard his audible voice say, Martin. And I said, yes, my Lord. And he says, now I establish my word in your heart. And I said, Jesus. And I jumped up, shaking under the fire of God. And when I stand up in the morning and I feel I cannot go on anymore, I hear those words, Martin. I establish my word in your heart. And let me tell you that nothing can stand against it. Then I jump up, my spirit gets excited, and I know this is what I'm called to do. I'm called to preach. The moment that I stand on this pulpit and I take this mic, his passion flows spontaneously through my life. when I get to a place that I feel like I can't go on anymore, I'm done, Lord, then I close my eyes and I imagine how I preach. I will envision how I lay hands and the people are falling under the fire of God. I will imagine how I prophesy and I will imagine how the Holy Spirit will come in like a flood and just restore and heal and set free. And then my spirit jumps and leaps on the inside of me. And I get excited and I know this is where I belong, that I am home. This is what I must do. Oh, I hope someone is hearing me in this morning. I'm telling you that there is greatness, that there is purpose locked up on the inside of each and every one of you, that you have been called. Do you not know that you have been called even before you have been formed in your mother's womb? And that call is stronger than any anxiousness, fear or doubt. Oh, I'm telling you that the word of God is in you, burning like holy fire in your spirit. Are you ready to release it? Do I have some alive people with me tonight? In this morning, sorry. I'm already at tonight. You see, I'm living tomorrow now. I need to calm down. The last fire. And this fire you need to stay clear of. And this is called strange fire. Say strange fire. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 2. Sorry, I just want to get my voice back. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Say, strange fire. You see, Satan had brought a replacement to the true passion and to the true fire. And sadly, many believers fail to recognize and discern this strange fire, this false passion, this false fire. True fire is supernatural, and it can only come by means of you offering true spiritual sacrifices. Listen to me when I say that you cannot produce something supernatural from something natural. Amen? We stop fasting, giving, and praying. It is when we stop seeking the face of God, what happens is your flesh stands up. When you stop dying to yourself, your flesh comes back up. And now you start to do things from a carnal, fleshly state and not from a supernatural, spiritual state. Meaning that there is now no more spiritual substance. Amen? Strange fire is someone motivated by personal agenda. It is ambitions of the flesh. Amen? So, this is where Christians start to bring mixtures into their lives. And I've discussed this in the e-group past Wednesday. And our Uncle Mike laughed at me. It was quite funny now that I think of it. And when people bring strange fires in their life, this is where a person will serve in the church. And this person looks fine. He's casting out demons. I mean, he's operating. He can pray. He looks perfect. Amen? But then he gets home. I'm not going to say that because I'm going to laugh. But then he gets home and this person is just a rebel. I mean, this guy's just losing his temper. He's freaking out. He's getting angry at everyone. He's just hitting and kicking everyone. I mean, this guy's just losing it. There's strange fire because there's a mixture of good and evil. And when you offer something that is a mixture unto God, is profane and unholy. Amen? Guys, with me. When you have false motives, when you're serving with false motives, it means that there is strange fire in your life. You need to serve God with a pure heart. You don't serve Him for money, for prosperity, for provision. These things will be added. The Bible says that first seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added onto you. Amen. You serve Him because you want to serve Him. It is when you place sacrifices on the altar that comes from a pure heart, from a broken heart, that there will always be a strong desire to please God. Amen. But it is the moment that you stop serving with a pure heart and with impure motives, where there's no sacrifice of worship or prayer, that your flesh comes back up. And here you think that you do not have to do these things anymore. Pride comes in. You think that you're too good for this. Why should I do car park? Why should I clean the chairs? Why? I'm too good for this. How can they expect me to do this? Pride comes in. May we never become like that. May we never become like that. You serve God because you love Him. It is when you come to the altar and you lay yourself down upon that altar with a pure and broken heart that you say, my Jesus, here I am. I just stand before you the way that I am and I give you all that I am. I do this with no motive. My motive is just because I love you. I do this just because I want you in my life. Amen.